Before school even started, my seventh grade year of junior high school, I heard that there was a new teacher in town and that she was going to teach seventh and eighth grade English. Oh my gosh, I was so excited because I heard she was very, very young. And all my elementary teachers were really old, or so I thought, because I was 12, and I'm sure anybody over 30 was really looking old to me. Well, her name was Mrs. McKinney, and I went in and told my mother, "Hey, Mom, I hope I get signed up for her class. I just really want a young teacher." Well, the first day of school arrived, and I looked down at my class schedule. Sure enough, I had Mrs. McKinney for third period. I couldn't wait to meet her. I can still remember walking into the classroom, and she was standing by the door welcoming all of us, just like teachers do. And she was young, right out of college, tall, slim, and beautiful. And I thought, this is going to be awesome. She had us sit down in our seats, and the room was actually two ovals with an opening at each end. And I actually ended up right beside her desk, so I could not get away with absolutely anything. So she called the roll first. It went like this: Pam Johnson, here. Ann McElfresh, that was my name, here. David Nickel, here. And then she started giving us an overview of what the class was going to be like. Well, without taking a breath, here's what she said. You are going to learn to conjugate verbs, write poetry, learn all the sentences type and use them effectively, write excellent paragraphs and use transition words, spend time in the library and learn how to begin to write research papers, read great literature, and so on. She did all that on one breath. She ended up by saying, oh, by the way, you can expect lots of homework. I was wide-eyed. So was everybody in the class. And I thought, how in the world did I get signed up for this? Oh, no, how can I spend a whole year with this woman? There must be a mistake. Surely nothing good can come from spending a whole year with Mrs. McKinney. Well, after reading our text today, I actually thought, I wonder what those busy disciples thought whenever Jesus walked by and said, "Come, follow me." You know, he was walking on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and he looked out and he saw the first two disciples, and he said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I wondered if they thought, what good can come out of this if I follow Jesus for a year or so? Well, what we're doing today is we're talking about our mission series, Commissioned. And all of you received a wonderful booklet in the mail. There are some out there if you didn't. And all of you received a pledge card for you to be able to think about what you want to do for missions this year. Today's scripture actually helps illuminate the Great Commission, the second part of it, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples." You know, last week we talked about authority, that Jesus came back after he was the resurrected Jesus and said, "All power and authority has been given to me." And we talked about the fact that that power was transferred on down to the disciples, and it has been transferred all the way to us today here at First Methodist Houston. You know, by that authority, we can do anything that Jesus asks us to do with absolute confidence that he will be with us, and he will even give us the right words to say when we go out and make disciples. Well, this week we're looking at this wonderful calling of the disciples. Jesus, again, was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and it is 14 miles long, and it's absolutely 5 to 9 miles in width in some places. It happens to be the largest freshwater lake in the whole world, and it's lower than any other lake, which explains the amazing weather patterns that happen. You know, storms come up all the time there. The water was filled with sardines, bacals, and mushed, which is now called St. Peter's fish. And if you decide to go to Israel with Andy and me in March, you will have the opportunity to eat a St. Peter's fish right on the Sea of Galilee. You could say that Jesus was getting ready to set up his classroom, and he was looking for students to put on his roster. He sees the two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and they're busy working with their nets. Aha! His very first students. He calls out to them in an imperative sentence, which is like a command. It's a command or an invitation, and he says, "Come and follow me." A little later, he sees two more brothers, James and John, and they're added to the class roster. And after a while, there are 12 students. Jesus has 12, and now the class roster is complete. You know, the men he called were not aristocrats. They weren't upper-class people. They weren't schooled in sacred religion. But you know what? They were ordinary. They were just like us. They were ordinary people that became Jesus' students. By the way, come follow me means come and be my disciples. Well, I guess you can imagine that Jesus' classroom looked a lot different from Mrs. McKinney's classroom. She came in before school started and put some pictures of some great poets on the wall, and she put some wise sayings up there. And she periodically changed the whole thing. But Jesus' classroom resembled a 3-year field trip with the school bus excluded. A 3-year field trip, school bus excluded. You see, walking was the mode of transportation. So once they signed up to be Jesus' students, they began to walk. And their classrooms were numerous. For example, at the home of a Pharisee, a village full of lepers, a funeral procession in the little town of Nain, on a hillside, maybe even in a boat. Jesus used real life experiences to help his faithful students learn and understand what he was saying. Can you imagine being in a classroom for 3 years and you didn't know where it was going to be from day to day? Real life experiences are so conducive to learning. My husband, Max, had a boss one time that wanted his children to have a different type of education. He wanted them to have a real-life education. So he took them out of school, bought a sailboat, signed them up for correspondence classes, and for the next year, they sailed the Caribbean. And everything they saw became a learning experience for them. At night, if they wanted to learn about the stars, Dad would have them lie down on the boat, and he would tell them all about the constellations. If they had a lesson about the ocean and food from the ocean, they would fish for shrimp and lobster, and they would study that fish before they even ate it. They learned how to care for the ocean. They learned how to care for marine reefs. And when they stopped in port cities, they met all kinds of people. It was an amazing thing, and their children say today, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Real life experiences. And that is exactly what Jesus wanted his disciples to have. And you know what? He wants you to have the same. Actually getting out there and seeing and meeting the people. Well, I wondered a little bit if they thought, okay, I'm following Jesus, there are 12. I wonder what I signed up for. I wonder what's going to be ahead of me. Surely, being with Jesus for a while, I'm going to learn something wonderful. Do you recall what it was like when you signed up to be a Christian? Well, let me go back. First of all, when we signed up, we realized that we needed to love and respect Jesus. And we knew when we signed up that doing that would pay great dividends. I learned to respect Mrs. McKinney more than you can ever imagine. And I'm going to tell you in just a little while my outcome with her. Secondly, when they signed up to follow Jesus, they became an apprentice. When we sign up to follow Jesus, we're the same way. We listen to what he says, we watch what he did by reading our Bible, and then we do it too. Did you know in the Methodist Church, this apprenticeship still goes on? I had the joy of being the mentor for Mandy Jones as she was finishing up her time at SMU. She traveled everywhere with me. We didn't walk. We got in my car. But we went to hospitals and nursing homes, and we planned worship, and we did this. I was her mentor, and she was my student. And you know what? It was the most awesome thing ever. When you're an apprentice, you watch, you listen, and you learn. Well, of course, I just said they had to watch Jesus and they had to soak it all in. And when they didn't understand, Jesus would stop, like any good teacher, and try to explain it to them so they would understand. They watched how he lived, how he worked miracles, how he worked with the least and the lost. And so when you signed up to be a Christian, you absolutely signed up for the same thing. We do it a lot by reading our Bible, and then maybe sometimes we shadow somebody in the church that has wisdom or has gone on a mission trip. Somebody that can help us understand. It's not as scary as you think. Well, the next thing they had to do was keep Jesus right here. When you signed up to be a Christian, that was the same thing. Jesus needed to be right here in your heart. And so they left everything. They left their boats, they left their nets, they left their parents to follow Jesus. Now, you're going to say, wow, I don't know whether I can do that or not. Jesus is not asking us to just, like, let go of our families. He's not. He wants us to take care of our families. But he does say, put your allegiance first. Put my allegiance first in your heart. Everything else will be taken care of. When I was a child, I heard these words over and over. I think it was my dad. God first, others second, yourself last. You may not like that, but that has rung a bell in my mind for years and years and years to keep God the very first. When we moved into our townhouse, I went out and I bought one of these engraved wooden signs. And I hung it above my front door. It's the first thing I see in the morning, and it's the last thing I see at night. And it's taken from a wonderful scripture out of Joshua, and I want to read the whole thing. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And then it ends with these 12 words. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's what I see morning and night. Once again, it reminds me that my family and I have chosen to follow the Lord, keep Him first in our hearts, to be an apprentice, to follow Him and listen and do what He did. So, then He called them to fish. Well, I don't think that makes a lot of us comfortable. He called them to fish. And then there was 3 years of schooling and training and more schooling and more training. And then He died. He was resurrected. And He met them on the mountain just like He said He would. And He goes, okay, go. Make disciples of all nations. They were prepared. They were ready. Did you notice that He said, go? That's a verb, but there has to be a subject of the sentence, which I learned in seventh grade English, and it's you understood. Any command, invitation, or anything, it's you understood. You go. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is saying, you go. So they did it. They went on and accomplished wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things for the Lord. My very first class at SMU, I pulled up in my car and I had a full-blown panic attack before I ever got out of the car. I kept saying, are you sure you got the right person? Have you looked at me, Jesus? I'm maybe just a little older. I'm really not sure I can do this. But I kept hearing the words, fear not, I am with you. Do not be afraid. And I thought, okay, I can go in there and I can do this. So I went in, and my very first seminary professor was Dr. Billy Abraham, known all over the world. And he said, one of you's going to have an assignment next week when we meet. And I went, not me, Jesus. I don't even know half the words in the book. Not me. There's a guy right beside me. He's really smart. Give it to him. It was me. I had to present that next week. And it was scary, but I did it. I plunged right through. And Jesus was with me. And you know, whenever He calls you to do something, that very same thing can happen to you. He will give you everything you need to go out and make disciples. That's why we have this campaign. You can drop your pledge cards at the end of the service in these baskets. You can mail it. You can contact anybody here at the church if you have questions. But we want to be the church that keeps right on going. Well, Mrs. McKinney, I was really uptight about her, but you know what? In no time, we learned to love and respect her as our teacher. We watched everything she did, and we soaked up everything she said. She loved us so much, she got involved with us and set at bake sales, and she helped with Pep Club, and she just became a part of our lives. She became a teacher because she thought she could make a difference in our lives. And you know what? She did. When I left junior high school to go to high school, I was so fully prepared in English that it was amazing. I grew up, I had children, I found out where she lived, and I gave her a call, and I said, "Thank you. Thank you so much for being my teacher and expecting so much out of me." And I said, "Did you know I became an English teacher because of you?" Many in our class did. And she cried, and she was so thankful that she had had the opportunity to be our teacher and that we were the students. I think if the disciples could come back today and stand right here and say, "It was 3 years. It was hard, but it was so wonderful." Don't be afraid. Jesus is with you. He has a heart for the whole wide world, and He wants your heart to be the same. I think that when you get over the fear and you go out and do it, I think you're going to be surprised, because you may just step into heaven and there are going to be people there smiling at you and that you told them all about Jesus. And they will thank you. "Thank you for making the biggest difference in my life." We won't be afraid. When Jesus says, "Go and make disciples," we go, you go. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you so much for being a wonderful teacher. And thank you so much for that first classroom you set up. Oh God, help us to go out in the world and not to be afraid, to have your heart in our heart, and to always keep your invitation, "Go and make disciples," first and foremost in our minds. Lord Jesus, we look for the time when we step into heaven and we look around and everybody is there from all of the world, from all of the continents, from every single part. So be with us today. And right now we offer the prayer that you taught us by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Would you please stand as we sing?